As we open God's word this morning, we resume our slow walk with Jesus in the gospel according to John. So I invite you to find a Bible and turn there with me, please, to John chapter 12. Since January of 2023, as a church, for about 7 or 8 months out of each year, we've been walking verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through this amazing account of the life and ministry of Jesus. And today we pick up where we left off back in November, towards the end of chapter 12. And as we arrive today at verse 36, and more specifically, as our Bible editors have divided it up, we arrive at the second half of verse 36. It doesn't take long to see that this is not an easy text. Even just the heading that our editors have placed over this section is telling that the subject here this morning is the unbelief of the people. The unbelief of the people who had seen Jesus with their very eyes. They had heard him speak. They had seen his miracles. And still they refused to believe. Still they refused to confess him. This is a heavy topic. For some of us, this is a topic that hits close to home. The unbelief of the people, the unbelief of your parent, the unbelief of your brother, your child, your neighbor, or perhaps even more close to home, the unbelief that still lurks in your own heart, or perhaps still cripples your own heart, the unbelief of the people. We find ourselves this morning in this section of John 12 being confronted with a hard word about hard hearts. And it is a hard word. There's no way around it. And we must take the time to really hear it. That's why we do go through these books verse by verse, so we have the time to hear every word. But it is of the utmost importance that we don't forget who speaks this word. The one who speaks this hard word is a good God. I remember when I was in my junior year of high school, and I was having lunch with my old youth pastor who was in town from Florida, down the street at Have a Bite Eatery. Anybody remember Have a Bite Eatery? I miss it. Let's bring it back. And I was telling him how hard my life was, how miserable I was, how I had left all my friends in Florida, how I didn't like Northern Virginia, I didn't like Fairfax, I hated Oakton High School, go Cougars, and on and on and on. And he looked at me, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, "Jamie, at some point you're going to have to stop feeling sorry for yourself." That was a hard word. But I knew that he loved me. You can hear a hard word when you know the person loves you. Because God is good, and because we know that God is good, God has proven his goodness to us in Jesus. We can hear his hard word today about the hardness of the human heart and hear it in harmony with his goodness. Because we know he loves us. To use a musical illustration, God's goodness, God's grace is like the bass line in a song. It's like the bottom note. It is the deepest, most fundamental note of every chord of his song, of his grace and his goodness. And so even when we hear notes like today that may be difficult for our ears, We don't hear these notes in isolation. We hear them in harmony with God's goodness. When a good God speaks a hard word, and here's the hard word: you have a great need for a Savior. Even that hard word speaks good news. And the good news is that you have a great Savior for your need. So our reading begins this morning in verse 36b. But to remind us of the base note of God's goodness and grace, it'd be good to back up to verse 35. This is just important context here for what follows today. Because Jesus' words of revelation and invitation that he's saying in verse 35 remind us of his glory revealed. So Jesus said to them in verse 35, to all people, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons and daughters of light. When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Why does he hide himself from them? He hides himself from them not as any kind of termination of his revelation, but as confirmation of his revelation. Remember that for the whole book of John so far, beginning in the very first chapter, over and over and over again, Jesus has been revealing himself, extending his grace, demonstrating his power, pursuing his people. And all of that continues forever to resound. It never ends. His message always speaks. His grace always pursues. His door is always open. And so he hides here, not as any sort of period on his revelation, but as an exclamation mark on his revelation. For anyone who lives and breathes in this world, for as long as anyone lives and breathes in this world, even up to the last nanosecond, God's message in Christ, God's grace, his invitation, the extension of himself, his pursuit of his people, is calling all people to respond. It's calling. That now leads to the hard word we must hear about hard hearts. God speaks a word now about glory rejected. His glory has been revealed always, but that glory can be rejected. And the question that John addresses now is a question of how. How can human hearts grow so hard and cold and closed and unbelieving towards God? How can that happen? And the first note we hear in answer to that question is a note of human responsibility. Human hearts grow hard to God, in John's words, because they did not believe. Look at verse 37. Though Jesus had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Quoting Isaiah 53, verse 1, Lord, who has believed what we heard, what he heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who has believed? Not everyone. To whom has the arm of the Lord, meaning Jesus, been revealed? Not to everyone. And how is that? How is that? Verse 37 says, they, the unbelievers, are responsible for their unbelief. It's because, quote, they still did not believe. Now that word still there is important because it's a reminder of our natural born state of unbelief. Apart from the regenerating grace of God, our natural born state is to not seek God. None of us are born seeking God. None of us are born naturally inclined to believe in God. Here, Romans 3, verses 10 and 11. None is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. So the question here is, how can human hearts grow hard and closed and unbelieving towards God? The answer is because this is our nature. Apart from being born again, we remain, and the text teaches us we choose to remain in our original nature. John says in verse 37, they still did not believe in Jesus. And now we come to five of the most difficult words in the entire Gospel of John, verse 39. Therefore, they could not believe. When God's glory is rejected long enough, something terrifying can happen. And it's when a person's natural-born hard-heartedness and natural-born spiritual deadness becomes entrenched, meaning there is no longer any tenderness toward God, any openness, any interest, any hunger. This is when you need to get an oil change in 50 miles. Becomes you haven't gotten an oil change in 5 years and your engine is dead. When they did not believe, in verse 37, becomes therefore they could not believe, in verse 39. That's when unbelief is firmly entrenched. But only God knows when a heart, when someone's engine has reached that point. And since, at least the last time I checked, none of us are God, we must never assume that anyone has reached this point. We must always assume that there is a spiritual heartbeat. This is the most important pastoral caveat I could ever make. We can never know the condition of someone's heart. Remember, 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. The Lord only looks on the heart. But even with that in mind, this section of 12, John 12, isn't easy. Because it asks us and it forces us to wrestle with the tragedy of those whose hearts appear, at least to us from the outside, to have grown so hard to God that they reject his glory in Jesus. And they become entrenched in that rejection. And we may ask, why does God permit that? These are the questions this text raises this morning. Why does God permit that? And so this is yet another moment in John when we hear the note of divine sovereignty, of God's divine sovereignty over every human heart. In verse 40, John quotes Isaiah again, speaking of the unbelief of the people, and he says that he, God, has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. So trace this progression here. Verse 37, they did not believe. Verse 39, therefore they could not believe. Verse 40, for again, as Isaiah said, God has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts. Isaiah said these things about God blinding eyes and God hardening hearts. Isaiah said these things because he saw God's glory and spoke of him. So if we really read and really believe God's word, we must hold truths in tension. And we must hear their notes in harmony. Truth number one, everyone who chooses to reject God's glory is responsible for that decision. Truth number two, God is sovereign over that decision. Both truths are true truths. And every Christian has to wrestle with these truths. But let me implore you and implore myself not to wrestle with these truths in isolation. That is where we go wrong. When we pull these things out and we wrestle with them as if they're solos. These are not solo notes. These are notes in harmony with one another and in harmony with the foundational, deepest, most bedrock truth of God's goodness and grace. That as strong as the will of man is, and boy is the will of man strong, and as hard as the human heart can become, and as entrenched the unbeliever's condition may be, God's grace is stronger. God's power is stronger. He was able to call 4 days dead Lazarus out of the grave, so he's able to call anyone he chooses out of the grave. Remember a few chapters ago, John chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus said, I have other sheep who are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. I must bring them. They will listen. If Jesus calls a sheep's name, even if that sheep is a thief on the cross, they will listen to his voice. Do not despair. Trust in the goodness of God. Trust in the sovereign grace of God. What he does do, or what he does not do, is always best. Now, lest any of us believers think that somehow we're off the hook this morning, we need to focus for a few minutes here on how this section of John 12 ends. Because now we're being addressed with a hard word about hard hearts of believers. And remember, God speaks these hard words to us because he loves us, not to shame us or condemn us. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But that doesn't mean there are therefore no longer any hard words for those who are in Christ, any more challenge for those who are in Christ. We all need to be challenged by someone who loves us. We need it. I once heard a preaching professor say, being a preaching professor is like getting paid to tell people their baby is ugly. We need to be challenged. Not on a Sunday afternoon, but we need to be challenged. It's good for us, even though it's hard for us. So in verses 42 and 43, God challenges believers in whose hearts he finds glory unconfessed. Verse 42, nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him. Praise God. Sounds like John wraps this up with a nice little bow. But he goes on. Many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. Many even believed in him, but for fear of their professional reputation, but for fear of their drinking buddies, but for fear of that clique that they have in school, but for fear of this, but for fear of that, they did not confess it. For the Pharisees, so they would not be put out of the synagogue. What is it for me? What is it for you? How can a believer's faith be so fickle? How could a believer not confess the glory of God? What's our kryptonite? Here it is. And who has the authority to speak, verse 43, over us? It's the one who is sovereign over our hearts. He is the king of our hearts, the Lord of our hearts. He reigns over our hearts, not to shame us or condemn us, but because he loves us. And so he says in verse 43, it's because they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. To use a theological word here, ouch. They loved the glory that comes from man more than they loved the glory that comes from God. This is a hard word for hard hearts. Unbelievers and believers alike are challenged this morning by a God who loves you. So what can we do? Here's what we can do. We can let this word accomplish in us what it's meant to accomplish in us. This text is not easy for a reason. It's meant to draw us to our knees. It's meant to humble us, unbeliever, believer alike. It's meant to put us on level ground, on our knees before the Lord Jesus, who reigns sovereign over us, and who speaks to us that way because he loves us. He draws us to our knees. But remember, when you're there, as long as you are there, that as strong as the will of man is, and it's strong, as hard as the human heart can become, and maybe this morning as fickle as your faith can be when you're under fire, God's grace is stronger. And he'll draw you to your knees to show you that. Whether you consider yourself a believer this morning or an unbeliever, the God who loves you shows his love to you by speaking hard words to you, by drawing you to your knees. Because it's there that maybe we'll slow down long enough to hear the hard word spoken by a good God speaking to us the good news. You have a great need for a Savior. Good news. You have a great Savior for your need. Praise God. Let's take a moment and just allow God's Holy Spirit to work his word into our heart this morning. In a minute, we're going to sing a prayer before we exchange God's peace with one another. But Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, would you please, in each one of us this morning, you are the Lord of our hearts. You are the King of our hearts. You love us. Lord, because you love us, draw us to our knees and lift our eyes to Jesus. We pray. in his name. Amen.